listening to Balvard Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by my arch rival, my nemesis, my very good friend, Taylor. How are you doing tonight?
I'm your BFF, and I'm doing wonderful. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, today was very silly. I took a nap in my car, and I left my keys in the ignition, locked my keys in my car like that today. And I dropped a 45-pound weight on my foot, and I did something else really stupid.
I played Spider-Man all day long.
That's pretty good.
I don't know what it is
about. Collecting your unemployment check, right?
Yeah, but I'm a superhero while doing it. It makes me feel like I'm somebody, and that I have a city to myself where I can actually save the day.
How many days did you save today?
Well, I mean, literally, I've saved probably about 40 people in just this hour alone. So, it's very exciting stuff. I've been very busy.
What percentage are you through it?
About 87. So, I'm about 40 hours into it. It's quite the show.
I played Spider-Man 1 on Xbox One. We're like, the webs were just through the sky itself. It didn't attach to anything.
It doesn't need to.
That was cool. And I like to find the vulture in that game. And then I played Spider-Man 2, which everybody did in 2003. And
so much fun.
Yeah, that's
everybody remembers Mysterio in that game too.
Yeah, and then like the super jump was really cool in that game. But that's an all-time great game. And I haven't really played video games since then, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's because you don't know how to play video games. Because
it's too
fast.
You just
need race games. That's all you do. You're a horrible person.
It's all too fast. But I guess, like, even though as stupid as my day has been today, it's not nearly as dumb as this NFL weekend. Like, this is a bad weekend of games. So, like, if you're planning to, like, go camping or, like, go to church on Sunday, this is a good weekend to do it.
I think you're out of your damn mind. I think this is a wonderful weekend of football. I can't wait to talk about the games we have. Trust me, some of them are going to be a doozy. But I'm very excited about it, and you can go on your camping spree. I'm going to be sitting on the couch watching football and enjoying myself.
I think you love football more than Troy Aikman. Like, that's a Troy Aikman level of loving football.
I don't know. I'm hoping that one day I can look like Troy when I'm older, because he seems to not age, but who knows, that could be the makeup itself that they have on him. Who knows?
For sure.
Maybe I should start wearing makeup. It's 2018, right?
I was at the gym. I saw Todd McShay on the TV, and he was orange. Like, he had the worst tan I've ever seen. And I don't know if it was the makeup or the tan, but it was absolutely hilarious. And I think that's kind of part of it too. Whenever you're on television, you make anybody pretty.
You want to be pretty with me?
I don't need television to be pretty. I'm always pretty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this week we have a bunch of games. A lot of them aren't very good. And last week when we made our picks, I went 3-1. You went 1-3.
You just wanted to brag. That's all you want to do right now.
And we held hands and watched the Texans beat the Cowboys, which was a very dumb game. And a lot of fun. And then in our picks, I went 3-1 and you went 1-3. So I'm up on the season so far, 5-3 to 3-5.
Wonderful. I hope you enjoy the victories.
And also, I have the head-to-head tiebreaker because Houston beat Dallas, too.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. And you know what? That game was just ridiculous. Why are we talking about it?
We're not even talking about them.
And the thing is, everybody lost, okay? That was the worst coaching display we have ever seen. I will say that's what we talked about, the challenges and how you would throw the flag and then the other would try to top the challenge. Oh, you think that's a good challenge? Just wait till you see this. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, O'Brien challenging 7 yards on like 2nd and 10 was the ultimate. At least like Garrett like challenged the play that mattered, but it was for sure wrong.
Matt, always remember, if you're on the half yard line, what do? You shotgun every single time.
That's how you score touchdowns in the NFL.
every time.
So this week we're going to talk about the Chargers-Browns, the Raiders-Seahawks, which is playing in London, Baltimore and Tennessee, and then Kansas City-New England, which is probably the only actual good game this week. So Chargers-Cleveland, I'm not watching this game. I'm not watching the Cleveland Browns at all.
Whoa!
I hate Hugh Jackson. He should be fired. He's terrible.
What are we doing?
The only Cleveland Browns game I've watched so far this year was that 7 minutes of that Jets game they won. And what? I had to cover my eyes the whole time. I'm not doing it.
Wait. So you're nowhere near on the Baker train?
No, I like Baker.
Then why don't you watch?
I hate Hugh Jackson. Yeah, I hate Hugh Jackson. Until he gets fired, I'm not watching the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, but I have been asking you since we talk about bets now. We made a bet as far as with two other individuals that we know that the Cowboys are going to have a better record than the Cleveland Browns at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Do you still believe that is actually what I want to know?
I still think so.
You still think we have a shot at this?
Just because I'm a little worried right now. The East is bad. Just because the NFC East is bad.
And that's true. I will say when it comes to our division, there's just
yeah, we made a $50 bet.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, man. Yeah. I don't have that much.
Yeah, that's what happens, I guess, when you drink 13 beers with some old friends. So, yeah, last year, like, the Browns should have gone 0-16. They were probably, like, actually like a 4 or 5-win team, their talent level-wise. But they were coached terribly. They kept starring DeShone Kizer and benching him for Hogan. They ran a really bad offense for Kizer, too. He's a good downfield thrower. He has a good arm strength. They kept throwing these quick passes. He threw a ton of interceptions. He probably wasn't ready to start either as a rookie right away, too, but they had no other options.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
He had like 7 red zone interceptions last year. I think that's too low. That's all that's on my head. And 7's a lot. I think that's way too low. And they had, like, you know, Jabril Peppers play 40 yards off the line of scrimmage. It was just, the whole thing was just so stupid. And so after watching them go in 16, I watched like 8 Browns game last year. And I was like, I'm not doing this ever again. So until Jackson's fired, I'm not watching the Browns. So screw them. Screw this team.
Hold on.
Screw this game.
But here's the thing. So we're talking first game, 21-21. And that's against the Steelers. You already know how I feel about the Steelers. I think they're garbage. Browns versus Saints. We're talking 18-21. That was a loss, but I mean, they held the Saints to the 21 points.
Didn't watch that game either.
We're talking 3 points here. Third game, 21-17. So that's a victory against the Jets. That was the crazy Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about the Browns versus Raiders, the 42-45. I don't know what that was.
I didn't watch it.
And then we have the Browns versus the Ravens at 12-9. So every game has
been
close.
Didn't watch that one either.
But it's at least having the Baker show. There's something to watch at the very least here.
Well, and I want to watch the Browns. That's what sucks. Like, I want to watch Baker. I want to watch
Garrett.
So
you just don't want to support Hugh Jackson at all?
Yeah, I'm not watching a Hugh Jackson coach team.
Did you watch Hard Knocks at all?
No.
Why didn't you watch Hard Knocks?
Because I'm not watching anything that's either the Browns or Hugh Jackson. I'm not doing it.
Okay. What did he do? I feel like he had sex with your mother and you're not telling me about it.
Wait, going 0-16 last year with that team, that is worse than having sex with my mother.
That's worse than having sex. So you would
rather... I'd rather have him have sex with my mother than the Browns go 0-16 last year. And I'm not
that's
doing it.
That's passionate, man.
I'm not doing it. I'm not watching this game. I want to watch the Browns. I like the Chargers a lot. I wish I was watching the Chargers.
That was actually kind of my follow-up to it, is the Chargers are still coming under the radar at 3-2 right now. And you don't even want to watch Phillip Rivers, who I know you love.
I love Phillip Rivers.
He has like 10 kids, man.
He's
starting his own army.
Yeah. He goes Case Keenum and then Phillip Rivers, my favorite quarterback.
Okay, so those are the top two.
Yeah, top two.
Oh, man, what a list. That is a crazy list you got going on there.
Like, Rivers, what I love about him is he's so slow, but he's like really good at climbing the pocket. I love when he escapes the pocket. And he doesn't really have any arm strength all anymore.
It's just that sidearm that keeps
he's
working every
so
single time.
He's just so accurate now. Like, he's so... And I love how he screams at everybody, too.
Well, he's the angriest human being anyone's ever seen. And it seems with age, he's getting angrier
he's
angrier.
He's 37 now.
Okay, here's my thing, though, because when it comes to Los Angeles, do they even care about the Chargers?
No.
Like, it's just, don't you feel kind of bad? Because even though they're 3-2, they're not doing too bad, and I feel like they're going to make the playoffs... Does the city even care? Or is everybody just a Rams fan?
Everybody's a Rams fan. Like, you watch their games, they're playing an MLS arena, and it's called a StubHub arena, and they took butcher paper and wrote StubHub on it and hang it in the end zone.
Is that not what you do?
That's not what you do. Like, the 49ers, like, they pump in crowd music when they practice because every game's an away game for them.
That's good.
Yeah, so like the Chargers, we can talk about the Chargers. I can't talk about the Browns. But the Chargers are 3-2, like you mentioned. The two games they lost were to the two best teams in football. They lost to the Rams and lost to the Chiefs. So the thing with the Chargers is that they're always talented. For the last 4 years, they've been, but they keep blowing it. So in 2014, they won 9 games, missed the playoffs. 2015, they won 4 games. 2016, 5 games. Last year they won 9 games, missed the playoffs.
But they actually started off really slow last year compared to this year.
They started off 0-3 last year.
Exactly right. So at least they're building on something and they're not having to panic and make it up at the end. They can at least kind of get there. I think they're going to make the playoffs easily.
I don't think so because of the Chargers. And this is what they do. They just missed the playoffs. And so, going back to 2015, that one possession record, 3-8, 4-9, 4-4. Usually those things kind of balance out unless you're the Chargers. Their difference between their actual record and their expected record since 2015, -2, -2.7, -1.4, and right now they're +0.3. So they're about actually winning the amount of games that they should. And like those things kind of tend to balance out unless you're the Chargers. And then the only thing that's good for them this year is that they're winning by 10 points, so they don't have to worry about a Philip Rivers interception blowing the game for them. Or a kicker missing a field goal at all. Because they're winning by enough. You know, they're going up by enough.
Well, and the thing, too, is they have kind of, in my opinion, one of the best running back duos here. Because we have Eckler, and then we have Melvin Gordon. They're already combined for over 1,000 yards total here with receptions and with rushing yards.
That's awesome.
That's incredible, and nobody's paying attention to them. Because they're on the Chargers. Because their fans don't even like them. But you have this running back duo to where Rivers, just like you said, is not having to be able to throw as much to where able to make that decision and not make that mistake. He could just hand the ball off and put the responsibility on those two, and they've been working out perfectly. Keenan Allen, I don't even think has had that great of a year. Has he even come on anybody's radar?
He's only averaging like 10 yards a catch too, which is weird for him. I thought he was going to have like 1,800 yards receiving this year.
No, and I agree completely when it comes to just not really progressing, or maybe the Chargers finally figured out a way to win the ball game instead of you expecting them to do the same thing, having the Rivers throw, having them to win those late touchdown, high-scoring games. They're not doing that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I mean, like, this is the best they've played. Going back to the years before, like, they played well. They weren't playing great. Right now, they are third in DVOA at 16.7%. And like you mentioned their running game. I know how much you like running backs, kind of like Danny Woodhead, those kind of like second running backs.
Love Woodhead.
Eckler's like Woodhead, but better. He's averaging 6 yards an attempt. You know, Gordon has 73 carries. He has 34. Gordon's averaging 4.6 yards an attempt. But then also Eckler in the receiving game, he's averaging 14.8 yards a reception as a running back, which is absurd. Like you never see a running back. Yeah, you never see that at all from a running back. And you know, Rivers is 37 years old. Right now, his completion rate is 70.1%, which is the highest rate completion percentage of his entire career at the moment. And he also has 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. His interception rate is 1.1%, which is the highest of his career also right now. So, like, I think this kind of makes me think about all these other quarterbacks like Breeze, like Brady, Roethlisberger, and Manning, because they're all kind of grouped together as being that, like, kind of generation of quarterbacks. I think the difference between Breeze, Brady, and Rivers is they're accurate quarterbacks. Compared to Roethlisberger and Manning, who have kind of fallen off some, where they're not, you know, as accurate or whatever. So I think if you're an accurate quarterback, you can probably last a little bit longer than, you know, if you're inaccurate.
Dude, I got it. Don't you even worry. Hugh Jackson has taught so many great quarterbacks, and it's because Hugh Jackson is one of the best coaches of all time. And I don't think you're giving him enough credit. We've been talking enough about the Chargers. Let's go back to the Browns.
This is a very important point I was making. This is an intellectual dissertation I was having about quarterback accuracy, and here you come rumbling in like Hugh Jackson himself screwing it all up.
Greatest coach ever. What Hard Knocks taught me is that he knows how to handle adversity. He knows how to handle a team when they are down, because Hugh Jackson is there to lift them up. He has that spirit. He is Cleveland, Matt.
No. The only thing I heard about Hard Knocks was that his mother died and nobody even cared.
Oh, my God. That's what we're bringing up.
That's what I heard happen on Hard Knocks with Hugh Jackson.
Dude, you can't talk about scary things like that on Halloween month, man.
Well, it's not scary. It's just sad, you know. Sad.
Whoa.
I wouldn't say scary.
Well, you're talking about, like, just dying during this month of October. So it's just, for me, it's more scary than anything else. But, you know, maybe it's just because I get scared real easy. But that's just me.
Yeah, that's why you have hands to hold. So, all right, talking about the Chargers again. Do you think this is the year they found the rabbit's foot, and this is the year they're no longer lucky anymore?
Yes, I actually do. Again, I have them going to the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to really go to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but hell, I think they may even go to the AFC Championship game because the Chargers, I think, are solid. I really have nothing negative to say. I will tell you this about Cleveland, though. I'm very nervous about our bet. Extremely nervous. Because here's the thing. Who's a better coach, Hugh Jackson or Jason Garrett?
Jason Garrett.
You really want to say that? After what you witnessed, you really want to say
only
that?
Only because Jason Garrett has less control than Hugh Jackson has. Like, over the team itself, you know? Like, Jackson does a lot of stuff. I feel like Garrett doesn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah, but Jason Garrett's just a puppet, so...
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like Jackson, like, has a big influence in the offensive play.
So then, you know what? I'm going to give him more of the credit then.
Yeah,
there it is. Hugh Jackson's better than Jason Garrett. You said it, not me.
But yeah, it's like, but still, like, you know, if you put a bunch of, I don't know, like, lemon in a glass of water, eventually it's become undrinkable, you know?
Wait, what are you talking? What does that even mean?
So, like, when you have that much negativity, it hurts things. So it kind of makes Garrett better by default because he doesn't really do anything.
I don't even know. Why are you talking about lemons and water? Like, what are we?
It's hard to come up with a metaphor sometimes.
No, it's not. Just don't use them if they're that bad. That's all you have to do.
What's what I have to do?
Whatever. What do you got for a score?
So this one, I have the Chargers winning, and I have them winning 26-22 because both these teams are kind of stupid, and the Chargers, I don't think they're really stupid this year. It's more like they've been stupid for forever. And so, but like whenever you have both these teams that are just kind of like snake bit as long as they've been, I think it's going to be a really dumb game. There's going to be like a lot of fumbles. But I think the Chargers are just better. And so they're going to be the team that's going to end up winning this one.
Yeah, actually, I do have the Chargers winning. My whole thing is I have it as a blowout. I think this first game where it's not going to be close for the Cleveland Browns, I think Mayfield, he's going to have a so-so game. I think it's going to be about 2 touchdowns and about 2 interceptions. But I have the score going 31 Chargers, 17 the Browns.
Yeah, and I can see that as well, too. I'm excited not to watch this game, even though I kind of wish I was watching it.
You make me sick.
The last thing I want to say about the Chargers, too, before I move on, is they had a bunch of injuries this summer. They lost, you know, Hunter Henry. They lost Jason Verrett. Bosa is out. Bosa's going to be back about week 9, but they haven't had a bunch of injuries at all since then. So it seems like they kind of had their bad luck that they always have regarding injuries before the season even started. So hopefully that continues well too, because that's when their problems is they're usually really hurt as well.
Yeah, so if you're not going to be watching this game, I do have a recommendation for you. Because we actually just the other night watched Hocus Pocus, because you know we're in that Halloween spirit. That's why I was mentioning that before. But you know what? That movie ages pretty damn well.
I've never seen it.
Okay, that... All right, you know when people say that Sarah Jessica Parker is not attractive whatsoever? I will say, this is the argument against it.
Okay.
It's the one movie where you can be like, okay, if she's singing to me, I'd follow her in the woods.
Gotcha. It's 2018, Taylor. We're not supposed to judge women their looks, but what's inside their heart, you know?
Whoa, man. I was just talking about a movie here.
I'm going to watch Scream 1 for sure. I'm going to watch Coraline. And I'm going to watch...
Coraline, now we're talking.
And I'm going to watch... Man, I'm really stupid.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to watch one other one.
You're going to watch... I'm just going to choose one right now.
Yeah, I'm going to watch a different one as well. But Coraline, Scream 1 for sure, for Halloween.
Sounds good. I think Scream 1 is overrated. Yes, I said that. But, you know, that's
just... It's a classic.
Me. It's not that impressive. I mean, everything that happened, the big reveal, the twist of who it was, the guys...
It's so meta though, Taylor.
Yeah, but he's like just like running around, like just bleeding out the whole like end scene. I don't know.
The first scene's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I like it so much is it was one of those movies where my mom's friend said, hey, you gotta watch this scene. And I closed my eyes and stuff. And now I spent like 4 years of my life just really wanting to watch it. And then when I finally got to watch it on like a pawn shop VCR, it was worth it.
I felt that about Titanic whenever they did the naked scene with Leonardo DiCaprio and how my parents covered my eyes during that scene. So for about a year, I wondered, what did I miss? And then after a year, I saw it, and I can't remember where I saw it, probably Grandma's. God. Watched it again, and you know what? I'm disappointed in my parents. That was art.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah. Come on. What's going on here?
They take you the witty, keep your eyes open.
Ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's a lot of high art in London as well. And this weekend, the Seahawks are playing the Raiders in London. And this was one of the games that you wanted to talk about. So why are you so infatuated with this Raiders-Seahawks game? Do you just, like, enjoy the Raiders being bad, or what is it?
Yeah, so I would like to talk about a team who is worse than the Cowboys.
Okay.
So that is my entire goal out of this entire segment. And I'm extremely happy with what I've chosen. Only because, here's the thing. Why is Oakland so bad? Is Gruden that bad of a coach? Are they blowing this season? Does he hate the pieces that he's working with in order for them to have new pieces whenever they move to Vegas? I'm just not understanding the whole game plan, because him and Derek Carr, I thought, were kind of like the whole Dak Prescott, oh, this offense is now going to be developed around you. Gruden and Carr were supposed to have that relationship where they were going to be able to talk, be able to develop something together. What is going on? It's gross. And it's bad. It's 1-4 for them. Last in the division. I mean, Marshawn Lynch doesn't even look like he's having a bad season. It's just he can't get the ball because they're always coming from behind. Yeah. And with Derek Carr as well, he had that one great season. He has just fallen off the boat. And that's why I'm kind of really curious when it comes to the whole Gruden thing. With this contract being, what, 10 years, 10 mil a year, $100 million.
This is year one.
This is year one. And it's already this bad. So was it already coming in this season? They were preparing for it to be this bad? And if so, man, I feel bad for some of those players.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what Gruden's plan was. Because it was super weird. Because Reggie McKenzie's the GM, and he was the guy who turned this team around into a playoff team by shedding bad contracts, by trading guys, by shedding weight, by dealing with the dead money and then drafting well. Because that draft in 2014, you take Khalil Mack at pick number two and Carr in the second round, that's franchise-altering. I do think the Khalil Mack trade is one of the big reasons why things are bad. Because, like, last year they had the worst defense of football.
I was for it, though. Yeah, only because, again, my whole idea was, if your defense is already last, even with that type of superstar,
so why not
get the draft picks for it? Exactly. So having him and paying him, great. We have a wonderful superstar. And granted, Khalil Mack is kind of throwing this in my face.
Yeah.
But still, what are you going to do when you only have one guy and you're still last?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, like, with Mack, you can, if you take two guys or two first-round picks, you're probably not going to get a guy as good as Mack, and you're hoping to get a guy as good as Mack anyways, and he's worth the contract that he got in Chicago too. But yeah, he, I think, had 8.2% of Oakland stops last year.
Yeah.
Or Oakland's defensive plays, which was the best in football for an edge defender. And then that worst defense in football last year lost that. And this year they're allowing 29.8 points per game, which is 30th. They're 29th in defensive DVOA. So the defense is really bad. And there's like, not even anybody here I like watching play except for Carl Joseph. And it's super old, too. On this defense, they have Derek Johnson.
I don't even know who's on the defense, Marcus
Gilchrist.
I picked this game, and I don't even care to look up these players.
Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Leon Hall, he's like 36. And they have Reggie Nelson. Reggie Nelson's in NFL Football 2K5. That's how old he is. And he's playing a lot of snaps for the Oakland Raiders this year. So it's not only a bad defense, but it's a bad and old defense.
You still play 2K5?
No, I had to stop doing that. And so it's a bad defense. It's an old defense. They're constantly behind, and they're super one-dimensional as a result.
Yeah, for me as well, like I was mentioning before, I'm going back to the Vegas theory here. I think they are kind of blowing it a little bit, wanting to get those draft picks up, and then I think they're going to pull kind of a, let's draft this new, young, talented team, and then let's bring in the pieces similar to what the LA Rams did whenever they moved cities and they jumped ship.
Yeah.
Except Gruden's kind of controlling the whole show. And just when they go to Vegas, I think that's when they're going to draw the crowd with the new, young talent that they're going to try to bring in. It's a gamble either way, but that's my only theory on why they're so bad. Because other than that, it's been atrocious to watch this team.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, because we looked up the other day when it comes to the hockey games for Vegas. and the ticket prices. What are the ticket prices going to be for a football game in Vegas?
If like, they're good, they're going to be like $700 a ticket.
Like, and we're talking bleachers for Vegas. I mean, what are these box suites going to be looking like? You think they're going to have at least two strippers per suite?
Probably. See a lot of ladies painting gold and popping out cakes, for sure. Yeah, and then the other thing that about Oakland that's kind of weird, too, is that they're pass blocking well. Then pressure rate, 22.4%.
I don't even believe you. You took too long.
There it is. So, but they also drafted Colton Miller. He's playing left tackle. I was really surprised by how well he's played. His hands were awful at UCLA, but they've been able to coach his hands up. Dal Penn's out, but they have Bram Parker now starting right tackle. And I haven't really had a chance to watch him much. It's hard to tell whenever you watch the broadcast that fast of what he's doing over there. But the interior of their offensive line is one of the best in football, with Hudson, Jackson, and Osamelli. So they're still and that's the thing about Carr is like, Carr's not good with pass pressure, but he's not being pressured a whole lot. You would think he'd be a lot better.
But he looks scared, though. I mean, if you watch him even throw the ball back there, just like you're saying, he's being protected, but yet he feels that somebody's honestly coming around either side of him, and he's trying to throw it, and it's just so inaccurate, and it's all over the place. He just looks scared or doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I think Carr is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback whenever you can't hit the quarterback anymore, because that's always his thing. Is like, he's not very good at pressure, but if you give him a lot of time to throw, he's pretty good, and he can just play backyard football. And once you can't hit the quarterback anymore, he's going to be like the best quarterback of all time.
Okay, so if the Houston Texans did not ruin the other Carr brother, which Carr do you feel like is better?
I don't know.
You don't even want to answer
I was like 13 when I watched David Carr play, so I was too dumb to really have an opinion on him.
What do you mean you were too dumb?
The only thing I really remember about David Carr was the game where he had 21 straight completions, and each completion was like 4 yards to the running back, whenever Gary Kubiak was the head coach. And Kubiak couldn't even develop a good offense around him, and Kubiak turned Joe Flacco into like a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Man, I always wonder what could have been in this case. And just like how Derek Carr had that one magical year, it always made me feel like, well, maybe the older brother did have something in that, and maybe he was just ruined by the Houston Texans. Because the Houston Texans ruin every single quarterback, and I'm going to keep
throwing. They ruined my lives.
Hey, I'm going to keep throwing these things out here. You may have won the game. I'll win. I'll win in the end.
Yeah, and also, so Amari Cooper last week, he had one catch for 10 yards. What's up with that?
But if you notice, he's done it every other game. Okay. It's the first game he's had, I think he had the similar, one or two catches. Next game, went completely off. Next game, one or two. Next game, completely off. This past game, one catch.
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but they're trying to switch off. And the thing is, with Martin, again, they have a great running game. But you know who their number one receiver is?
Jalen Richard or
no,
Jordan
man.
Nelson?
No, it's Cook. It's their tight end.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He's their number one receiver right now. He's throwing it to him. Let's see, what do I have?
You never want your tight end to be your number one
receiver.
Yeah,
he has 30 receptions, 390 yards, and 2 TDs.
Yeah.
Jared Cook is tearing it up, man. Is that a good thing? I don't know.
Not for like a passing offense in general. But yeah. You want that as like your second guy, maybe.
Do you think he misses any way at all Crabtree in this offense?
I wouldn't say that. I think the thing about Oakland, though, is that when they made the playoffs and went 10-6 that year, whatever it was, and then, you know, Carr broke his leg, and they played Houston in the playoffs.
Yeah, the magical run, man.
Yeah, but they won, like, I think they were, like, 8-2 in one-possession games that year. So, like, it was a super lucky year. It was really fluky for them, and it wasn't sustainable moving forward. So, I wasn't surprised when they dropped as low as they did, but I'm surprised that they've stayed this low last year. But I'm not all that surprised that they're this bad right now, considering what the moves that Gruden made. They don't have Mac, and they have this old defense.
Do you think Amari Cooper is the real deal?
I don't know. But
hold on. We have to know by now. Like, now, what are we on? Year 5?
He was drafted in 13, so this is year 5.
This is year 5. Yeah. So, we have to know. I mean, is he the real deal, or...
Maybe he's kind of like, what was his name that went to UT and played for Chicago and played for Dallas? Who's short in Detroit? Who's short on everything?
I know exactly. Isn't it Williams?
Yeah, Roy Williams.
Yeah, Roy. Oh my God.
Maybe he's
Roy
like him, Williams. Or like he's a great athlete, but he just short arms everything.
It's, oh my God, Roy Williams. Please don't talk about it. didn't he have the gloves? He wore the gloves, didn't he?
Yeah.
I hate the gloves. God, yeah. Do I hate the gloves.
Yeah, he was super bad. So we haven't talked about Seattle at all. So the Seahawks right now, they're averaging – their pressure rate right now is 27.4%, which is 18th. But they've allowed 10 sacks this year. And they're currently – no, that's their defense, actually. I'm very dumb. They're scoring 23.2 points per game, and their DVOA is 19th right now. And they've allowed 18 sacks. They're just sack rate 31st in football. And their pressure rate is 34.4%. So this isn't surprising me, but what's surprising is why they didn't invest in their offensive line. This last year, they lost their whole defense. Now they have the cap space. Russell Wilson's 30 years old. And I always felt the entire time as they lost their defense, they would just build a team around Wilson, but they never put an offensive line around him. And this year, he's still 30, having a dig. You know, dip and duck and dive.
Close. It sure sounded like you said something else there.
Maybe I was.
Stop thinking about him that way, pervert.
and do that whole sort of thing. He shouldn't have to do this all anymore. They should have actually developed an offensive line, went on and got a few guys to put stuff around him to let him build his team for the future.
What have they done?
They drafted Rashad Penny, and he only has like 21 carries right now.
What are they even doing at this point? I just don't get it, because just like you said, and I also hate – Russell Wilson's easily my favorite quarterback to watch. But at this point, he's just running around because he's trying to escape and he's making incredible plays. And yet, I think the only way this team is going to be fixed is Pete Carroll has to go. I think.
Or they have to get like an offensive line.
But sure, let's make it the football decision. I want to go the reality TV way here.
Okay.
All right, so.
Let's hear it, Shannon.
All right, here we go. So whenever it comes to this team, with Pete Carroll making that decision that he did of choosing Russell Wilson to make that throw, I don't really blame him in that situation. You try to throw them off guard, cool, whatever. Here's the thing, though. He lost the entire locker room with that call. And now when guys come in to play for him, do they believe in him? Or do they kind of believe in, this guy doesn't have my back. He made this call. I hate this guy. Look at this quarterback. He only looks after him. Look at him. He has Sierra. I hate him.
What do I have?
Yeah, what do I have? Yeah. Man, I love Sierra.
Yeah.
I mean, she's great.
I miss being in middle school.
Whoa. Ride is a wonderful song. Don't you dare insult
her. I only just remember her in middle school. I don't remember anything else about her.
Oh, my God.
So, but like the other thing that's interesting about the Seahawks too, one, aside from their offensive line being bad, their offense is mediocre, and it should be better than it is. I think this is a really – Doug Baldwin's been hurt for most of the year. Last week he had 2 fantasy points. I think he had 1 catch for like 12 yards. This would be a good week for Doug Baldwin to actually exist. Tyler Lockett's been their only good receiver so far this year. I think Chris Carson's their best running back too. But their defense has been kind of cool this year, because they really have kind of built that bridge from, you know, Richard Sherman, Cliff Avril, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas pretty well. McDougal's awesome. Ride's been pretty good.
Hold on.
I really like Frank Clark.
Let me cut you off here. I have to cut you off. What'd you think about Earl Thomas flicking off the sidelines?
Oh, it was awesome.
Okay, like that's what I wanted you to say. I didn't think
it was
that
very punk rock.
Like that was, and that was kind of an interesting decision, because usually I don't side with the player.
That was the last thing that wanted to have happen. He knew it was going to happen.
It was going to happen. And I hate that. But at the same time, I kind of was like, yeah, you deserve the finger.
Yeah.
You can do that. That's cool. We're on the same page. And by the way, it kind of sucks because now he's going to be a free agent. But hopefully.
It's only a broken leg. You come back from that.
Hello, Dallas. But it's the same broken leg. He's done it now twice. And it's the same leg. But hello, Dallas.
Maybe Oakland, too.
No, he doesn't need to go to Oakland. Maybe Houston. Why would he go to Oakland? No.
Maybe Houston also.
Why would he go to Houston? Come on now. Bill O'Brien is there. Nobody wants Bill O'Brien. Yeah, at least Jerry has some type of way he talks
to. I could see John Gruden giving him 4 years, $50 million.
Oh. I don't know if I would want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
I don't know.
But it's something John Gruden would do.
Yeah. Is he a Gruden grinder?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, he is such a grinder.
Yeah, for sure. He can be the block of cheese to Gruden's grinder. So, who do you have in this game?
Ooh, who I have in this game, I actually put this at the Seahawks are going to win this game. I have it pretty close, though. I think it's kind of going to be up in the air, maybe even close to a decent game. I have it at 27-21 Seahawks.
All right, so I made my picks before this time, so you could influence me. I picked Seattle 27-20.
What is the matter with you? You so copied me.
I made these picks at 5 o'clock.
You asked me what I picked, and then you tell me what you got, and somehow it's the same thing? Damn lie.
In this case, it is. In this case, it is.
Damn lie.
I'm actually kind of excited for this game now. I've kind of talked myself into it.
Oh, yeah? I'm not going to watch this game at all, probably.
The only reason why I want to watch is because I want to watch Seattle's front seven against Oakland's offensive line. Like, I really enjoy watching their offensive line play. I haven't watched them closely in a while, so I think I'm going to do that this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. I still think this is going to be a god-awful game, and I'm glad that two terrible teams look worse than the Cowboys. The problem is one of them beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
God, I hate my team. God, I hate them so much.
I really also wish this game is at 6 o'clock in the morning, too.
Yeah, actually, but that would be fun. That would actually be a fun time, kind of like whenever the World Cup is somewhere where you have to wake up early in the morning.
They moved it to 12, though.
Yeah.
Next week, they'll have an early European game.
Yeah.
So this the other game we're going to talk about. Oh, actually, we're going to talk about this game after a quick break. All right, and we're back. So this week, the next game we're going to talk about is Baltimore-Tennessee, which is the Dean Pease revenge game. So if you don't know who Dean Pease is, he was the defensive coordinator for Baltimore for a while. Now, he retired. Mike Vrabel used his leadership powers, his managerial style, that real heart and soul to drag Dean Pease out of retirement to coach the Titans defense. And as a result, the Titans defense has been better than it has been years past. It's like 14th, you know, in the NFL compared to being, you know, 20th despite being talented. And he's done a much better job than Dick LeBeau did whenever he was the defensive coordinator there. So he's going to be fun. But also, without Dean Pease, Baltimore has only allowed 77 points this year, which is first in football. And they're also fourth in pass defense DVOA, fourth in run defense DVOA. They're allowing only 5 yards per net attempt, which is first in football, 3.9 yards a carry. And the quarterbacks they played this year have been Keenum, Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Ben Roethlisberger, not Josh Allen, but Nathan Peterman. He threw for like 32% in that big blowout in week one. So this defense of Baltimore is really awesome, and the Tennessee Titans offense has been, you know, really crusty so far lately.
Dude, I have no idea why you want to watch this game. Talk about god-awful games.
Like, they're
this
both
is a
like similar,
This is
though.
A game, no. This is a game that is so horrible that you wanted me to review. You were laughing at me when you sent that text message saying that you wanted to review this game. This is ridiculous. By the way, this is going to be a snoozer. I'm already going to tell you, this is going to be 9-9.
Are you already asleep?
This is 9-9 is your final score. I hope you're excited about this game. I am absolutely not. Here's the thing. Titans, I agree. What a surprise they have been on defense especially. But you know why they've been that surprise? Who's their cornerback?
Malcolm Butler.
Oh, yeah, Malcolm Butler.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's okay. What happened last year in the Super Bowl, Matt?
He was saying mean things to Bill Belichick.
He was saying mean things to Bill Belichick. Let's say what exactly happened. He had sex with his wife.
No,
okay?
I don't
think so. That's the only way. That is the only way he sat. Other than that, you are telling me that Bill Belichick threw that game. That's what you're telling me.
I don't know.
You have to tell me one of those two things.
I have to have an answer to everything. I don't know. That's
no, no. It's sex with the wine or it's he threw the game.
All
right. We'll take plan B. Got it.
But, no, what I like about watching Titans defense is I really love watching Jarrell Casey play this year. He's also – he rushes from a defensive tackle position, and he has 3 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 6 hurries. The one thing that's going to be sad about Casey this year – is he's wearing this big, long, white t-shirt underneath his pads because every year before that, he wouldn't, and his butt crack would hang out the entire game. And so it's just constantly this giant butt crack whenever you watch Jarrell Casey played, and he finally covered up, and I'm kind of bummed about it.
Well, you're focused on that. Okay, so I'm looking at this a little bit differently, but you know what I am excited for this year, and don't tell anybody, I'm actually kind of on the Baltimore Ravens train here. I don't know what it is about them, but I actually kind of believe in them because Joe Flacco has a fire under him. He has to perform well.
Do you think it's because his receivers are better or because he drafts Lamar Jackson?
I think both. Well, actually, you know what? No. I'm going to say both only because he loves John Brown.
I love John Brown.
Crabtree, he drops everything.
He
oh
has
my
six
God,
drops this year.
He drives me crazy. Like, I don't even get it. And by the way, they're bad drops. In the end zone last week, he dropped a touchdown that was just right in his hands. Just, you know what?
I didn't watch that game, so.
You hate them. But it was just like, no, I don't want that. Yeah, it was against Cleveland. Hugh Jackson lover.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But either way, I'm actually on the Baltimore train here. I think they're a decent team. I think they have some problems, though, when it comes to running back. Landry and Collins. Landry fumbled last game. Collins fumbled the game before. It's like, hey, which running back do you want to play? Because we're going to fumble either way. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have had that popcorn.
Collins had bad fumble against Pittsburgh, too, but in the red zone.
Well, that was on, like, the 2-yard line. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
That would have ended the game in the second quarter. Yeah. Fumble there. Who do you think is better, Baltimore or Cincinnati? So, like, who's your AFC North pick right now?
I'm not going to lie to you. I actually am going to say Baltimore. With any of the teams in that division, I'm going to say Baltimore. You like Cincinnati? I'm just not a big Dalton fan, nor am I a Marvin Lewis believer. So, I'm
Hugh Jackson, a disciple of Marvin Lewis.
Which one would you rather have?
Marvin Lewis.
You would rather have Marvin Lewis?
1,000,000,000 times %.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is a great one, then. Marvin Lewis for 12 years or Hugh Jackson for 3 years?
It depends on the franchise.
What do you mean depends on the franchise? We're talking about whichever one. It doesn't matter. Well, who cares?
Like, if you're a team that hasn't won a playoff game like 13 years, then Marvin Lewis. Where you're, like, happy to win a – may go to playoff. Well, he doesn't even win a playoff game.
That doesn't even make any
sense.
You're,
like, happy to be in the playoffs. It's been a long time than that. But if it's a team that's, like, been good recently, I would say Hugh Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Just because it's a Band-Aid you can peel off.
I'd fire both of them.
A big pimple you can pop. So Flacco this year, he's completing 61.2% of his passes, 6.8 yards an attempt. On deep passes this year, 13 for 37, 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And also John Brown, he's only completed 19 of the 44 passes, but he's averaging 20.8 yards a reception to John Brown.
If he's throwing to John Brown, you just know it's going at least 40 yards.
It's either
yards.
A drop or a 20-yard catch.
But it's kind of awesome to watch because Flacco has a guy where he can just throw it up and bomb it too.
Yeah.
While Crabtree really is supposed to be kind of like the inside the slot, like he's just,
I need a first down to go to Crabtree.
Yeah, and Crabtree's just, he's not making the plays that he should be. And by the way, I don't even know which tight end is playing for Baltimore.
They have like seven of them.
Yeah, like I don't know who's playing this week as far as who's
going to
be.
They have Max
the
Williams.
Edges.
They have the two rookies. And they have that guy's last name is a G.
It's ridiculous. But okay, I'll stop talking about Baltimore for a minute here. Because let me talk about the Tennessee Titans, who I have never watched this entire season. I hate Marcus Mariota.
I hate Marcus Mariota.
I think he is so overrated, and I cannot believe that people are not giving him more flack about just doing absolutely nothing. He has done nothing. As a man who has watched him in your division, is he something?
He shows enough, like with like his accuracy, his mobility, and his ability to break tackles.
What's enough?
Enough to be intriguing. It's kind of like the Ryan Tannehill disease.
Oh,
like
God.
He's shown enough to be interesting. But he hasn't won enough at all, and he hasn't, like, consistently been really good yet whatsoever. And so, like, this year, you know, Mariota was hurt. Gabbert, you know, beat Houston. He got knocked out of the Jacksonville game whenever he got murdered. But, like, on, like, a blitz, he got hit by, like, seven guys at once. And then Mariota, like, last week, he should have went to jail for some of the decisions he made. Like, he made some awful, awful decisions, some awful throws, some bad interceptions.
I will give him that. I mean, they have Gabbert, who is in concussion protocol still.
Oh, he's in a hospital bed.
Yeah,
he's
he
a vegetable.
I feel so bad. And Mariota's just coming in, and he's still hurt, so it's kind of surprising.
Like, when Gabbert got hit, it was like when Mufasa dies. Like, it was a stampede of wildebeest who ran him over.
Wait, so did you feel like Simba? Do you feel like Blaine Gabbert?
I really do like Blaine Gabbert.
So Blaine Gabbert now is
but
in
I didn't
the top
feel
three.
Like Simba.
So Blaine Gabbert
no,
now makes in the third. He
no.
is the third
he's not
QB
the third.
Out of...
He's not
oh
the third.
Oh, my God.
I need to think Simba, about the third.
Simba Mufasa. You can't make that type of comparison.
That's how big of a hit he took. It was a stampede he took. But also, the weird thing about the Titans, too, is that they've been known for their offensive line. They've been pass blocking well, but they haven't been run blocking all that well, I feel like. And also, Deion Lewis is averaging 3.2 yards an attempt. Derrick Henry, 3.4 yards an attempt. Henry's been really disappointing to me because he can't run through the tackles at all. All he can do is bounce outside and stiff arm. And he weighs like 270 pounds.
And I also didn't understand why they would sign Deion Lewis. I'll be
he
honest
was a
with
great
you.
I think he's a great signing.
Well, no.
The results haven't been there.
My whole thing when it came to it, I was like, you have Derrick Henry. Now he's going to be your workhorse. Give him the ball. But it's like what you just said. He is one-dimensional here.
Yeah, I don't think he's fast enough.
He
to be
can't do anything, really. And that's why they have Deion Lewis. Is at least you're bringing something different to the table. He can do a little bit of something. Well, Henry, I mean, I'm really disappointed because the Titans, I feel like, could be a little bit of a better team. They're relying on their defense so much, but yet it's working in the end.
Well, in a way, because they've won.
I mean, they're leading your division.
Well, they're 3-2, but they beat Jacksonville 9-6.
There it is.
They beat the Eagles in overtime, and then they beat Houston by one possession score. I've completely blanked, you know, that game on my memory already with the final scores. But they won 3 close games and lost to Buffalo. So I don't know that they're good. They just won some close games. I think one of the things that Vrabel has kind of done well is he can kind of turn the game to a slot fest. He can be tough and, you know, lead his guys to victory. And that's sort of rah-rah. I don't believe anything I just said. I just think they've been kind of lucky in one close
game. I know
games.
You don't believe in anything you just said. By the way, Marcus Mariota. Trash.
So his numbers this year... His DVOA is negative 22.6%, 29. He's averaging 6.6 yards an attempt, which is
two TDs, 4 interceptions, what I have as well.
Yeah. On deep passes, 7 for 19, 194 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
What do you – okay. So when I say he's bad and you come to me and say, no, I mean he's adequate. No,
I didn't
Matt,
say he's adequate. I say he's intriguing enough.
What does that mean? Does that mean you have a crush on him?
It means
intriguing?
Like
you like his eyes? I don't know what that means.
I've always wanted to go to Hawaii.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, Hawaii is a beautiful place, I hear.
No, it's more like he makes enough throws and he has enough accuracy. He has a really quick release. He wasn't good at red zone last year, but he was really great in the red zone the year before. And also, the other thing about Tennessee too is their receivers are dropping a lot of passes. Like he had two touchdowns dropped in that Buffalo game, it bounced itself out. He throws the receptions to get dropped too, but his receivers haven't been catching enough passes for him as well.
In the end, I feel like I'm not watching this game at all, so I am not excited by any means of these two teams. However, like I mentioned before, I still feel like Baltimore is going to win their division. So that is a team I believe in. I'm just excited to watch them after this week, whenever they play New Orleans the next week.
Yeah, that's
so
going to be a fun
game. That one's a little bit of a better shot for me versus this week to where, man, we're talking, I have 15-12 going to
Baltimore.
15-12 Baltimore. I have 15-12 Baltimore is what I have.
We have the same pick again for this game.
Okay, I'm kind of tired of you. This is ridiculous. You are waiting on me to make these picks.
It's already down. It's already down.
Okay,
all right. So I have Baltimore winning 2016. I think it's going to be another close
defensive game.
That's
way too many points. That's too ridiculous.
I mean, like in 2018 football, though, in postmodern football, 2016 is a low-scoring game.
What are you talking about? That would be with the Titans. They have made 20. No, never mind. Well, no. They've only had. Yeah.
I mean, it's still a low scoring game.
They made 26 points one game. That was it. And that was against the Eagles. That's the highest scoring game they've had.
And it took overtime, too. And that was a great throw. Mariota made it win that game.
Oh, Mariota makes him sick.
Intriguing.
Let's go surfing with him. All right? Yeah, I bet you love that.
I'll go kill a pig with him and cry the entire time.
Okay, I said surfing. You said kill a pig. All right.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk about New England, Kansas City. Right, and we're back. So Sunday Night Football, we have the undefeated Chiefs at 5-0 playing the New England Patriots at 3-2. This is – if you want to watch, like, 10 people get murdered and, like, 75 broken bones and war crimes committed on the football field, then maybe Pittsburgh-Cincinnati would be a good game for you to watch. But other than that,
I was about to say, what game are you talking about here? It certainly can't be.
That's maybe the other game you can talk about as being as like a great game. But this is the marquee game. It's Sunday night. We got Chris and Al calling this game. And also at 5-0, Kansas City can kind of lock up for the number one seed in the AFC too. Because if New England's kind of the only team that can really kind of compete, Cincinnati is also 4-1, but you kind of expect them to fall off at least a little bit. New England at 3-2, they can go to 4-2 at Kansas City 5-1. They also have the head-to-head advantage. So I think this is like the one chance New England has to potentially catch Kansas City for, you know, that one seed that matters so much in, you know, the NFL playoffs at the end of it.
So how angry did Patrick Mahomes make you against Jacksonville Jaguars?
Because
you hate the high scoring. I know you hate Patrick Mahomes. He makes you.
I don't hate Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, you
do. I don't hate him.
Yes, you do.
The thing I hate, just like the system the NFL created, and the best way I can exemplify
it.
I don't hate him, but what this is what really made me mad about that game. There was like a red zone pass. Mahomes rolls out to the right. You have Calais Campbell right there in front of him. He's like, from me to you, we're probably like a yard and a half away from each other right now. Campbell doesn't even hit him. Mahomes just like cutely walks out of bounds. On 39, they kick a field goal. You have to hit Mahomes there. Like, in order to beat the Chiefs, you have to hit Mahomes. You have to razz him a little bit. You have to, you know, use your physicality against him. And if you don't, you can't beat him. You know, you have to be able to get pass rush and hit the quarterback.
Just
and
admit you hate him.
Him just, like, jogging out with the one of the best offensive linemen in football right in front of him, not even be able to hit him. It's screwed up. The game doesn't – there's no repercussions for the quarterback's actions at all anymore.
Yeah, that's fine. I get it. But still, we both went into it believing that the Jags were going to be the team that made Patrick Mahomes look silly. Now we don't have that. So now we have Bill Belichick.
I think Kansas City scored 30 points last week.
Listen, I don't want to listen to your excuses, okay? Stop lying to me is what I'm saying. But my point is, do you think Bill is going to have a shot to kind of slow them down? Do you think he's the one guy that can maybe pull this off? Or are we going to have a shootout? Because I can actually go either way here when it comes to the score, because I still can't judge when Kansas City's finally going to have this bad game. They have so many different weapons. Patrick Mahomes is using everybody. They're playing to certain teams in certain ways that it makes them... I mean, come on. Last game against the Jags, I couldn't believe it. They kind of switched up their game plan, and they went for more of just a different type of attack that ended up destroying the Jags.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of downfield stuff.
Yeah, but it's still like they own the Jags. Even with Mahomes throwing no touchdowns and two interceptions, that's insane to me that the Jags kind of just looked out of place. I mean, Bortles had a crazy game.
He threw like 65 passes.
I just wish that the Jags would move to London because then Bortles would be the greatest quarterback of all time.
I like the Jags. I like Jacksonville, though. They love the Jags.
Okay, I do have a question. Do you really love them? Because here's also my question to you. When it comes to Jacksonville Jaguars, if you were to go to that stadium, would you go in that pool?
Of course.
You would go in that pool.
I would wear cut-off blue jean shorts and hang out in the pool. And I would get my ear pierced. And dye my hair blonde.
Would you be a never nude?
No, I mean, I'm not.
Would you advertise it that way? I'm
no,
a never nude?
No.
Like,
you're in Florida. That's how you get to dress in Florida.
But
no questions asked.
Wait. Obviously, somebody's going to ask a question.
No, cut off shorts in Florida is like wearing an Oxford shirt in Dallas.
I don't know if that's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Oh my God, how is that the same thing?
That's just what the dress code is there.
Dress code? I've never seen that dress code.
In Florida, you wear cut off blue jean shorts.
Is there a sign that says that?
And you have to have the sleeves cut off your shirt too, and then you're in Florida.
No, that makes zero sense.
You're in Gator Country, that's what you wear.
Gator Country, yeah. That's what you just said it like too. Gator Country.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah.
No, so like that Kansas City Jacksonville game. It was a lot more horizontal. They ran the ball pretty well against them. The one thing that really sucked is that Kansas City went up 7-0. They had that easy 70-yard drive. And I also didn't like what Jacksonville did on defense because I feel like they have the talent.
You and I talked about that too.
Yeah, because they have the talent there. I liked how they did Ramsey against Hill. I liked when they put Boye and Kelsey. And then, you know, they were forcing Watkins and Conley to beat them. But then they kept switching. And they took Boye off Kelsey. They put their safeties on Kelsey. And he went off. And all of a sudden, you're down 14-0.
The whole time as well. I mean, they gave Mahomes certain plays. He was like, hey, he's going to make that throw.
You can't play zone against Mahomes.
Yeah. Like
his arm's too good.
Yeah, exactly right. He's going to get the ball there. If that's what you're hoping he's not going to be able to do, that's a bad bet that we're making here.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And the one thing that's kind of... You know, weird about that game is that if you're Jacksonville, if you go up on them, they're kind of screwed. They're having to throw more, and if Bortles is inaccurate,
exactly,
you know,
right.
He had a bad day. But also in that game, they had Jacksonville had two red zone turnovers, the fourth and two they didn't convert, and then they also had the interception in the red zone off the helmet. And then they also threw a pick six too. So the game was a blowout. I still think Jackson was the talent on defense to match with Kansas City. They just have to play more man coverage and get pressure in the front four. And if they can do that next time around, maybe in the playoffs, that'd be different. But they're not playing this game. This game is Kansas City. And with New England, I think Bill Belichick can play the right defensive game plan. I just don't think they have the talent to limit Mahomes.
Ooh.
So like, I think he'll make the right decisions. He'll put his best – put Stephen Gilmore and Hill. He'll put –
If he scores 30 points and wins this game, are you going to be impressed?
And Mahomes does?
Yeah, Mahomes honestly –
I'm already impressed.
So – But we both talked. I mean, the magic is going to end sometime. So it's all about when is the show finally over?
Oh,
so,
you know when it's going to end.
Okay.
But the first playoff game they play. No, that's when it's going to end.
Man, I will be a true believer. I mean, a complete believer if he were to manhandle the New England Patriots. On a Sunday night game, if he were to just manhandle them, just go through his entire... his entire core of what he's been doing the entire season of just throwing the ball, making the right choices against the New England defense.
Defense isn't very good.
But it's Bill Belichick. It's Sunday night.
Yeah, I
understand. It's Bill. It's the lights. It's the show.
I think the one thing they're going to do is they'll double team Kelsey and they'll play Gilmore man coverage with Gronk's playing. And so I think that's the one they're going to try to do. And their pass rush is better than what you think. They signed Adrian Claiborne. He, of course, has 9 pressures, and he's been great this year. Kyle Van Noy is actually rushing the passer well, which is super weird. And so it's a little bit better as far as their defense goes. But I think the biggest thing is for Brady. You know, we talked 2 weeks ago, James White was his number one receiver. His skill players now are Gronk, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, James White, Philip Dorsett, and Cordarrelle Patterson. So and then also Sonny Michel is been running the ball very well now that he's the number one running back. So I think this is already an entirely different offense, an entirely different team for the New England Patriots than it was previously with those guys being back. And I think also this offense is just going to get better for New England as the year goes on too.
Oh, I agree. And just like what I said before, when it comes to Edelman now returning, Brady has his favorite weapon back. And if Gronk is actually healthy as well, he's going to have his go-to because if so many double teams Gronk, he's going to go to Edelman. Whenever they start playing Edelman a little bit tighter, having somebody else come in, then he's going to throw to Gronk over the top. He has his guys now. That's why I'm kind of excited because, again, this game could go either way where if Mahomes is going to be able to get his shot and he is going to do what you are saying he's going to do, then that means it's going to be a shootout with Brady. Because do you really think the Kansas City defense is going to stop Brady?
No, and I think it's not even stopping Brady. I think Mikel is going to have a great game. I don't even know how to say his name. Is it Michelle? Is it Mikel? Is it Mikel?
But it's Michael. It's M-I-C-H-E-L.
Yeah.
So
I've been calling him Mikel.
Hold on.
I feel like it's Michelle, though.
It's French. Michelle.
Yeah, I think so.
It's Michelle.
Yeah.
Wait, is that French?
Only if it's cigarettes in your mouth when you say it.
I don't know if I have a cigarette.
And your leg has to be crossed, too.
Okay, now I feel like you're hitting on me.
No. After the show's over. But yeah, so the Kansas City's last in yards per attempt. They're giving up 5.8 yards an attempt in this game, or just in general for the entire year. So I think if the path for New England to win this game is that I don't think necessarily outscoring Kansas City, which, you know, that's how football works. Whoever scores most points wins. But
are
I think
sure?
it's more
is that how it works?
I think it's more the fact that New England's forced 10 turnovers so far this year. So that I think they have to force, you know, one or two turnovers and then run the ball and really control the clock the entire game. And just limit how often Mahomes is the ball. And the other thing, too, is Justin Houston's probably going to be out for this game, too. So they're going to have...
That's a big
it's
factor.
Just going to be Chris Jones and Dee Ford. And I think New England will be able to take care of those two.
No, I believe so as well. I'm finally excited because, even though I say this, I said this last week as well. I believe Patrick Mahomes is finally going to be stopped this week. I think New England
What stopped?
I mean... I don't know, because he had over 300 yards last week, and yet 2 interceptions, but no TDs. So is that stopped?
I guess he ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, but still, that's not... I expect that at this point when it comes to the NFL, just like you said. You protect the quarterback no matter where you are. If you have a running quarterback, he's going to score the touchdown on the legs. So when it comes to the passing, though, is it impressive? I still feel like that he's going to be stopped in the case... Under 300 yards, One TD.
Under
300 yards. I am calling it. I have been wrong so much this season.
I'm so mad that we're about to make the same prediction.
Stop it.
But before I get your prediction, are you worried at all for Kansas City about Andy Reid screwing this up in the fourth quarter?
No, not at all, because like I mentioned last week, my name's Andy. I do what I want because I'm Andy.
I guess so. And I'm already mad that we're going to have to watch the Patriots in the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, I'm already mad. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious to see. Now with Edelman back, like I mentioned before, with the weapons and everything he has going on.
Because like, it's all about first downs.
And it's all about what Belichick's defense does. They just have to hold the team to a certain amount of points, and Tom is going to win it. So that's kind of like, is it a little bit sad that Tom Brees, these guys can play to a certain age because the rules have changed to where it's favored them, and we're not able to see the quarterbacks that were in the past, how great they were certain years, but yet how they were knocked out because of the rules that were not implemented like how they are now. I mean, think about it.
Yeah,
Tom could technically play for another 3 years. Is that normal? No, but will the rules allow it? Yeah.
Like, Rich Gannon maybe could play until he was 37, but he'd play in a different league.
Yeah. And
I also think, though, that, like, the all-time great quarterbacks, like Jim Brees and like Brady, whenever they start to lose it, they have a bigger margin of error available to them because they're so great at this point that they lose, like, 3% of it. It doesn't become astronomical. It's not like when Matt Schaub or Jake Delhomme start to lose it, they become unplayable.
I have a question for you, though. Kind of just off topic here when it comes to the NFL. With Brees getting that honor that with breaking the records, Brees is great. I love Brees. My question to you, who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
I mean, I guess you have to say Brees right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. So is that just like...
But he's also so much farther along his career.
Is that just like who you enjoy? What is that for you?
I mean, I think Rodgers has made throws that I've never seen all before. Like, I think, like, as far as just, like, great plays, Rodgers is better. But just, like, sustained excellence, also staying healthy, Brees is better. And but the thing is, like, Brees' numbers are, you know, so outlandish and, you know, obscene because their defense was bad for so long. So he was constantly throwing the ball 55 times. Whereas, you know, Rodgers and Brady,
they were still able to do it.
Yeah, I understand.
That's kind
of
crazy.
But if you're throwing the ball that much, you have more yards. Whereas, like, Brees and Brady are winning football games where they're up by, you know, 21 in the fourth quarter. So they're not going to throw the ball 60 times like Brees was able to. So I think that's the biggest reason why he has, you know, the records he has. But, I mean, what makes Brees so great is, one, he can barely see the line of scrimmage, so he throws all those tippy-toe passes. And, two, he's super accurate. He may complete 80% of his passes this year.
I hate Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' biggest fan is Aaron Rodgers. Total douchebag. I love Drew Brees a lot, and I think Aaron Rodgers is completely overrated while Drew Brees is completely underrated. I truly hope that Drew Brees kind of goes down as better than Aaron Rodgers, and I hope that New Orleans can somehow pull out something this year if Dallas can't. I'm just truly disappointed in that team so far. It's the same thing with what Aaron Rodgers has. It's Drew Brees or bust. It's Aaron Rodgers or bust.
Well, I think
it's these teams or their quarterbacks or bust. At this point, same thing with Kansas City. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes goes down, who's their backup?
Chad Henne.
Whoa.
Chad Henne has a sweet tattoo now, too.
Well, wait. What's his tattoo?
He has this, like, tribal forum tattoo. It's hilarious.
Tribal forum? Yeah. What is a tribe?
I don't know. He hung out in Florida for too long, so it happens.
He hung out in Florida, so it has to be a pair of jean shorts then, that tattoo.
Well, no, like, it's just like a tribal design.
So it's a pair of jean shorts.
He's probably wearing
and
the jeans.
And a tribal wear?
He was probably wearing the jean shorts when he got the tattoo.
Do you like Chad Henne?
I liked him when they had the mustache.
Okay, so now you like mustache.
Not so much anymore, though. He doesn't have the mustache anymore.
What is wrong with you?
I enjoy the game.
You enjoy the game. I asked you what is wrong with you because you said you like his mustache. You then say I like the game. So you like the game of his mustache. What game do you play with the man's mustache?
I just enjoy the game of football.
What game do you play
and
with
so
the mustache?
So whenever you watch the game of football, as part of the enjoyment you get from it.
You're not answering my question about the mustache and you playing
with it. It's because I can't grow a mustache. So I'm excited every single time I see somebody with a mustache.
You just said you play with a man.
No, I'm talking about the game of football in general.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I enjoy the game. And part of enjoying the game is you get to enjoy things like Chad Henne's mustache and his tribal tattoo and hating the Miami Dolphins logos.
So in this case, what do you have for the game?
I have New England winning 34-30.
You know, whoa, 34-30. Yeah. Man, I thought I was actually going at 27-24 New England in this. I don't have in the 30s. Man, I hope it's your type of game. I hope it's a shootout on Sunday night.
Chris Collinsworth is going to have such a great time. It's going to be like going to a little kid's birthday party, listening to him announce this game.
Chris Collinsworth. Okay, here's the problem. A flag will be thrown, and it's going to say, holding. Yep, that was holding. Did you see that? What are you talking about, Chris? And he just announced it. He just announced it. Every single thing Chris Collinsworth says is nails on a chalkboard. It is the worst thing on planet Earth. Everything he says, it's a response of, shut up, Chris.
I kind of like Chris just because I like listening to him talk. He's just such a, like a, he just really likes football, you know? I bet he likes Chad Henne's mustache also.
There's no way he likes it more than you. That's impossible at this point. You said you play games with his mustache.
I think Collinsworth likes football more than me.
Well, wait. Do you think Collinsworth likes football more than mustaches? Or do you think he likes mustaches more than football?
I think he's like me. We both like football more than mustaches. But enjoying football, part of that is you enjoy the aesthetic parts
of
the game.
If you want a contest of you going on a picnic with Chris Collinsworth, would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, what would you talk about? Would you talk about football?
I would, yeah. I would like watch a bunch of old Cincinnati Bengals games.
Do you think he would talk about football?
That's all we would talk about.
What if he rubbed your leg?
I mean, he does have some pretty big hands.
Oh my God.
He's a wide receiver. So, I don't know, to recap for this week, I have New England winning, you have New England winning. I have Seattle winning, you have Seattle winning.
I hate this week.
I have Baltimore winning, you have Baltimore winning. And then I have the Chargers winning, you have the Chargers winning. So we're
this
straight.
This is the worst week ever.
We have the same picks. I mean, I still enjoy going back and watching some of the condensed games, but and I have to watch Houston Buffalo at 12 o'clock, which I would not watch if I was in Houston.
God.
Yeah, that's what I get to watch on Sunday.
It's okay. I get to watch the Jags destroy my team, so
this should be fun too.
It's going to be a wonderful time.
I think Dak Prescott. Who do you think throws for more yards this weekend, Dak Prescott or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. I'll say that as Cowboys.
Allen threw for 73 yards last week.
Yeah, I stand by against the Jags. I stand by what I said.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you $5 Prescott throws more yards.
Ooh, deal. All
right. I'm writing this one down.
Write it down this time. Yeah, I'll sign the contract.
All right.
You know what we're betting too? We're going to bet dinner.
No, we're doing $5 for this one. You already owe me dinner for that Texans game.
I think you just want me to grow a mustache.
If you could, I would buy you dinner even though you owe me dinner.
I'm too patchy. I'm like an 11-year-old.
Yeah. So, anyways, thanks for being on tonight. This was another great time. Another better way.
Always and forever.
And next week, we'll do this again for a Week 6 preview. We also will have the show on Tuesday, going over the Texans-Bills games as well. So, anyways, my name's Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Dollar Radio, and thank you for talking to me tonight, buddy.
Oh, God.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.